This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. We are about to do Medal of Honor Monday, and then we're going to talk about standing strong in the face of this communist propaganda. And what role do you and I have to play as we watch at least a portion of our society start to shrink and shrivel up and get uncomfortable with deportations? We'll do that. Emails, a lot more coming up in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. But it's time. It's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every Monday, start of the second hour, we honor a hero. Remember his name, remember his deeds. We discuss these things with friends, with family, with our coworkers, with our the team we coach. Everybody loves these stories, American hero stories. Kids, adults, everyone loves them. You can do these, and I encourage you to do them yourself. And remember, you can email your love, your hate, your death threats to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can also, if you have some of these you like or you have some relation to them or something like that, you can email them. We have a huge backlog of that. We got an email about this guy. Jesse, I'd like you to consider reading about Van T. Barfoot on Medal of Honor Monday. You may have already have, as I don't listen every Monday. He was an amazing man. He won the Medal of Honor, the Silver Star, the Legion of Merit, the Bronze Star, 3 Purple Hearts, and 11 Air Medals. Good friggin' grief. He was a veteran of 3 wars, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He was a native Indian. His grandmother was Choctaw. Started as an enlisted man, rose to the rank of colonel, learned to fly helicopters, had 177 combat flight hours in Vietnam. Good friggin' grief. What I did not know, he was the individual in Virginia that erected a flagpole in his front yard, and the HOA took issue with it. There were no laws forbidding the flagpole. After the poo hit the fan a week later, the HOA dropped their complaint. Maybe the most heroic thing he ever did, Chris, was taking it to the HOA. But we're not going to focus on his HOA wars right now. We'll focus on what he did in Europe. This is World War II, the first of the 3 wars he fought in. Gosh, what a beast. Van Thomas Barfoot is his name, U.S. Army. He was born in Edinburgh, Mississippi. How about that?
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty on the 23rd of May, 1944, near Carano, Italy. With his platoon heavily engaged during an assault against forces well entrenched on commanding ground, 2nd Lieutenant Barfoot, then a tech sergeant, moved off alone upon the enemy left flank. He crawled to the proximity of one machine gun nest and made a direct hit on it with a hand grenade, killing 2 and wounding 3 Germans. He continued along the German defense line to another machine gun emplacement, and with his Tommy gun, killed 2 and captured 3 soldiers. Members of another enemy machine gun crew then abandoned their position and gave themselves up to Sergeant Barfoot, leaving the prisoners for his support squad to pick up. I always love that part of this one. He's got all these prisoners piling up, and he just dumps them on the guys behind. Hey, can you grab these guys? I have to go kill more Germans. I'll be back in a little bit. He proceeded to mop up positions in the immediate area, capturing more prisoners and bringing his total count to 17. Jeez. Later that day, after he had reorganized his men and consolidated the newly captured ground, the enemy launched a fierce armored counterattack directly to his platoon positions. Securing a bazooka, Sergeant Barfoot took up exposed position directly in front of 3 Mark VI tanks, From a distance of 75 yards, his first shot destroyed the track of the leading tank, effectively disabling it, while the other two changed direction toward the flank. As the crew of the disabled tank dismounted, Sergeant Barfoot killed three of them with his Tommy gun. He continued onward into enemy terrain and destroyed a recently abandoned German field piece with a demolition charge placed in the breach. While returning to his platoon position, Sergeant Barfoot, though greatly fatigued by his Herculean efforts, yeah, I would imagine he's a little tired out, assisted two of his seriously wounded men 1,700 yards to a position of safety. Sergeant Barfoot's extraordinary heroism demonstrated of magnificent valor and aggressive determination in the face of point-blank fire are a perpetual inspiration to his fellow soldiers. Good freaking grief. So that is the kind of person we honor on Medal of Honor Monday. Remember this? When you get to the place where, and we read these Medal of Honor citations often, where the guy charged up or crawled up to an enemy machine gun position, that alone is, you're probably going to die. A heavy machine gun, a machine gun position, it's one of the most important parts of an infantry battle. It's so capable of keeping people's heads down, of slaughtering mass amounts of the enemy, that you secure it usually. You have a crew. It's not one guy on a heavy machine gun. You have a crew, and the crew is there in part to make sure nobody can crawl up or charge up to the machine gun. Now, let's say you're one of these guys. Let's say you're a Barfoot hero type, and you happen to crawl up and take out an enemy machine gun crew. Well, that sounds good, but really you should turn around and go back to your lines after you take out the first one, because that means you are officially on the enemy line. You line up in a line. Sometimes it's a circle, sometimes it's a straight line. But if you took out one machine gun nest, that means if you keep going in the same direction, you will find another one. And the other one you find will probably be aware of your presence, being as how you just set off a grenade in the pit of the last one and killed a bunch of people and took them prisoner. These guys... And some of them will talk about it. I've seen some talk about it when I've been geeking out on Medal of Honor stuff. Some of these guys, they felt like they were going to die. They had almost accepted, I'm going to die. If you are low crawling your way into enemy machine gun positions by yourself, at least in the back of your mind, you know you're not coming back. You don't come back from that. You are an insanely courageous human being, and you have chosen to give your life killing the enemy so your friends can live. The ones who come back, oftentimes they can't believe they came back. I have that story before. What is his name? Woody... I know his first name's Woody. Gosh, God forgive me. He's a Marine, famous Marine from Iwo Jima. We've read his Medal of Honor citation a couple times. He lived, legend in Marine Corps circles. Gosh, I'm so mad at myself. Henderson? Williamson? What the heck is Woody's name? Gosh, Williams. Williams, that's right. Thank you, Chris. Woody Williams. He was a flamethrower guy. And the flamethrower guys died all the time. All the time. Because if you were a Japanese person, very understandably, you didn't want to burn alive. A very understandable motivation. Even as fanatical as the Japanese were, they still didn't want to roast to death. And so they would always aim for... It's not exactly a secret who's the flamethrower guy. He's the guy with the massive canister of napalm on his back. They were always aiming at the flamethrower guys trying to kill them. When Woody Williams earned his Medal of Honor, he was low-crawling towards a pillbox, if I remember right. He was low-crawling towards a pillbox. He ends up stuffing his flamethrower in one of the vents and cooking like 17 guys underneath it. But as he's crawling his way towards him, they see him. They find out he's there, and they start shooting at him. This is not in the citation. And the bullets are zinging off of the flamethrower canister that's on his back. They never had the right angle to penetrate him, which probably would have resulted in him dying himself in horrible flames. But what does that feel like when you have a flammable napalm canister on your back and bullets are bouncing off of it? You think you're going to die. All right, whatever. Let's go back. We'll talk about these poll numbers. Headline: Trump's immigration crackdown faces growing disapproval from voters. Maybe you've heard this from people today on the right. We're taking it too far. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about where we're at, the role that you have to play, and that I have to play going forward in this country. First, we are going to lose the United States of America to the communists if we do not deport 20 to 50 million people. Well, let's just focus on Joe Biden's 20 million, and I'll explain why. It's simple numbers. This is not me just being border hawk barbarian Jesse. Simple numbers. Let's say we deport 10 million of them. We just go grab half. Good number, right? 10 million. Good work. Let's say we deport half. But not all. We just get the worst of the worst. Just the murderers and rapists. Okay. Well, America's insane laws, they grant American citizenship to every child of a foreigner born here. Headline: Could a million Chinese communists vote in the 2030 election? Other countries, including China, are taking advantage of our suicidal immigration policies where if you're born here, you're a citizen. Biden brought in 20 million. We deport 10, hypothetically. That means 10 million stay. How many kids are they going to have? How many children will come out of the 10 million foreigners here? Even if those foreigners don't get amnesty, let's be nice and say none of them will be amnestied. That doesn't matter. If they remain here, they will reproduce and their children will overwhelmingly be Democrats. 10 million just from Joe Biden. 10 million stay, that turns into 50 million new Democrat voters. Am I being nice? That's probably being nice. Let's call it 50 million new voters. Meaning, if you only deport half of the foreigners Joe Biden brought in, America is gone. Pick your time, 30 years, 40 years, 20 years. As soon as those children are old enough to vote, they will vote en masse for Democrats, and we will never win another national election. We will have full communism, no more constitution, no more nothing, no more playing nice either. We're talking mass executions, gulags, the worst. You know the exact thing the communists will do because they do it everywhere. That's the price we will pay for only deporting half. So let's just get ahead of that right now. Let's just clear that up right now. We don't have an option, and I'll use this way to describe it. A tie goes to the communists, meaning if we just deport the murderers and just deport the rapists, if we stop at just the worst, if we just stop there, they will win in the end, overwhelmingly, no question. They will win. The mass deportation of every foreigner here illegally is essential if you want to save the United States of America. All right. Now we'll get to this headline. This is from The Hill. Trump's immigration crackdown faces growing disapproval from voters. They have Republican strategists in here saying things like, This is the kind of political issue that can get out of control. This, again, is from the article. A new Reuters poll found American approval of Trump's immigration approach is at its lowest point. At its lowest point since his return to the White House. In an AP NORC poll, just 38% of Americans approve his immigration enforcement, down from 49% in spring. A recent poll, in a recent CNN poll, a majority of voters said ICE's actions are making American cities less safe. These are all quotes from the article. Don't yell at me. I'm just reading this. And we're going to have a talk about this. A 53% majority of voters in the Quinnipiac poll said Minnesota shooting wasn't justified, including 92% of Democrats, 59% of independents, and 10% of Republicans. A Reuters survey found a notable 39% of Republicans that said officers should limit harm to others, even if they're making fewer arrests. One more GOP strategist, and then we'll move on and have a talk about it. Quote, immigration is an issue with a lot of nuance, and there's no nuance in the Trump administration's approach. That's from GOP strategist Alex Conant. You can go read the whole article. It's pages and pages and pages and pages from The Hill. Quotes from people like Joe Rogan, largest podcast in the country. Quote, are we really going to be the Gestapo? Now, let's go back to what we just talked about. We cannot and will not. There's nothing you can do. No amount of activism, no amount of anything. There's nothing you can do to save the United States of America without removing every single illegal in this country. Every single frigging one of them. If we stop at a certain point, a tie goes to the communists. The illegals will reproduce. The children will be American citizens. They will vote en masse for Democrats, and we will never have a country again. So what is your role? What is happening and what is your role? What is my role? Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I will get to a bunch of different emails, but we're going to discuss now your role and my role to play. What is happening is another, because we've gone through many of these before, from Russian collusion to COVID to George Floyd, another massive communist propaganda campaign everywhere. It is complete saturation of the market. Here's an Arizona United States senator.
Well, look, I think ICE needs to be totally torn down.
Here's Jasmine Crockett.
And I will say it loud and proud because the DH secretary had a few choice words for me, but this looks like modern day slave patrols.
Here's Gavin Newsom, governor of California.
And in the ensuing months, we've seen BORTAC teams, people dressed up in tactical gear, Apache helicopters descending the streets all across America, mass men, without providing identification, and we're in court on that. I was proud to sign the first anti-masking bill in this country. He is trying to stoke a civil war.
Here's the Virginia Speaker of the House, Don Scott's his name.
As a black man here, and we're celebrating MLK Day, and he spent a lot of time protesting, we have a president that is harassing and tear gassing, and, you know, he shot a unarmed white lady in the face.
A massive propaganda campaign is underway, and I warned you, not to be an I-told-you-so guy, I warned you this would happen before the election. I warned you that illegal immigration, the mass importation of foreigners, was everything to the communists, and therefore, in order to stop mass deportations, you would suffer under the largest propaganda campaign in the history of mankind. It will end up dwarfing COVID. Keep in mind, we're just the beginning. This is the beginning of this mass deportation propaganda effort. It's coming from everywhere, absolutely everywhere. Lots of it is paid, organized. Some of it's funded by the drug cartels. Did you know that? Here's Ammon Blair. He came on my TV show, laid out some of this.
Arabella Advisors, the largest dark money network, created a 501c4 called Galvanize Action. Galvanize Action went out and they scoured the entire social media network. And they got all of her profiles. They used data scientists. Then they used behavior scientists to figure out each and every one of our profiles. Then based off of that, they figured out what our values are, whether that's in our religious values, political values, and then figured out how we could use, through behavior science and neuroscience, how they could use our values against us, like you talk about all the time, don't let them use our values against us. They figured out how to do that and create, not political messages, but when you go on social media, you'll see that they have ads. They created ads that every one of us sees that uses our values against us and to push all of our ideas from whether that's right, center right, center, or left to the extreme left.
Funded by billionaires, by drug cartel, funded. Let's talk percentages. We already know mass deportations have to happen. We already know the massive communist propaganda campaign has begun. What percentages are we talking about here? Is all of America against these deportations? No. The Republican Party appears to be standing mostly strong. We do have the communists. We already know what they think. Let's not focus on them. Let's focus on two different entities because this is really important. First, on the right, I've already seen several right-wingers, writers, podcasters, TV people, people on social media talk about that. I don't like the optics. We have to be careful. No. No. Deporting people requires violence. Removing somebody from a place they don't want to leave requires violence. If I show up at your house tonight, uninvited, and I walk into your house, and I sit down on your couch, and I put my feet up on your coffee table, and you ask me to leave, and I say no, and then you tell me to leave, and I say no, what happens from here will require violence if you want me out of the house. Maybe that violence will have to come from you. Maybe you're going to beat me up, club me over the head, shoot me, stab me, wrestle me. I don't know. It will require violence coming from you. Maybe you just don't want to do that. Maybe you can't do that. You'll pick up the phone and you'll call the cops. And guess what? When the cops show up, it will still require violence. Maybe they'll shoot me, pepper spray me, handcuff me, beat me to death. I don't know. But in order to remove me from a place I don't want to leave, it requires violence. Deportation will require violence, large amounts of it, 20 million cases of it for the most part. And let's be frank, it's closer to 50 million because there were tens of millions of foreigners here before Joe Biden brought in 20 million more. So I don't want to hear from any more sniveling weenies on the right that they're uncomfortable. We can do this nicer. There's no non-violent way to deport people. It does not exist. Stop selling rainbows and unicorns to people. I want to deport people nicely, guys. Can't I just remove this guy from the country? Really nice. He doesn't want to go, but can we be nice about it? What about the optics? Good freaking grief.
Why are you gay?
Pathetic. No, what we need to do is when we talk to friends, family members, the normies in our lives, and maybe you have talked to these people, maybe you've already heard from these people, the normies, about being uncomfortable. I'll tell you what, I sat with a guy yesterday. We went out to a bar and grill for lunch after church, and there were a bunch of our neighbors with us, and My normie neighbors brought up the deportations, and don't get me wrong, they're not voting Democrat or anything like that, but there was discomfort, no question. I don't understand why do we have to grab people? What do we have to wear masks? I don't understand. You know what I didn't do and what you cannot do? What I didn't do was, yeah, it does look bad. Yeah, I hope that, no, you must carry the message forward. I must carry the message forward. I told them the exact same thing I just told you. In fact, I was a little meaner about it because they're all friends. I said, oh, you don't like how that looks? Yeah. How should we nicely deport the rapist out of Minneapolis when the local government won't help? What's the nice way? And you see them immediately. They start, finally their mind, just asking the question, finally they're walking through it in their mind. Even asking that one question will win you most of those arguments, because then they figure it out. Well, I mean, I guess if he's a foreigner in an apartment complex full of other foreigners and he doesn't want to leave, and the Minneapolis Police Department has been told to stand down, I guess there's no other way. You cannot shrivel up from these conversations. The normies need you right now. They need you to speak boldly why we have to have this happen. We cannot shrink. And the Trump administration can't back off. I know they're conscious of it, and I understand they're conscious of the optics. I know they are. I know I've already heard a bunch of it. Well, we might do the Insurrection Act, but you won't, because it looks bad. We might do this. Maybe we should back off with that. You back off deportations, we lose the United States of America. There is no second issue. I don't care what other issues you're hot on or I'm hot on. I have other issues I actually care just as much about. They don't matter at all without mass deportation. I am hardcore pro-life. You may not be. I am. I am 1,000% pro-life, unapologetically. Guess what? I'm going to get en masse if we don't deport people. Endless abortion. Because the foreigners will vote for communists and they'll be slaughtering babies at 9 months in the womb. We have to have the mass deportation of foreigners. We cannot back off. We cannot back down. We cannot sit and whine about optics when our normie friends talk to us about these deportations and they're uncomfortable. That is an opportunity for you to get their minds right. Not for you to navel gaze. Not for you to agree with them so you can get along. Get their minds right. Stop. We're deporting rapists and murderers. And after that, more foreigners. Get in line. We're saving America. All right. Sadly, ZipRecruiter can't get you new friends. They can get you new employees. That's the good news. If you have a filthy communist or just a dirtball at your work and you need to replace them, you don't do it because you think it's going to be hard. Nah, it's going to take too long. I don't have all day to look through the resumes. ZipRecruiter has matching technology. It takes the top candidates, and it's immediate. It's a speed of light. It puts the top candidates in front of you immediately. 80% of employers find someone good day one. You are not months and months away from finding that employee you need. You're a day away. ZipRecruiter is number one for a reason. You can try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll get to some emails finally. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you want to email us your love, your hate, your death threats, all are welcome. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Let's get to some of those. Hey, easy sniper Iraqi target. What is with all these media morons and protests always saying protect our democracy? We are a republic. And this is an easy counter-argument even for the normies that watch Fox News. Well, there's actually a strategy behind this. So let's talk about it. Democracy, democracy. We have to defend democracy, democracy. Okay. This is another foundational truth like the one we started in the beginning. Communists lie about everything all the time. You have to get that. You have to get that, which is why it's so frustrating to still see people on the right fall for communist propaganda. They're lying. They have to lie because it's not popular. Destroying everything's not popular, never will be popular. They lie. So communists select words very carefully, very carefully. They'll select words to hide the truth. And there's a purpose behind them. What is with all this democracy talk? I could play you a montage that's 4 hours long. I'm not going to do it. Of everybody, Joe Biden, media people, democracy, and a democracy threat to democracy. But as the man pointed out, we are not a democracy. Well, what is a democracy? Democracy, remember, is its majority rule. It's simple majority rule. If there are 100 people in the room and I get 51 of them to vote to take away the rights of the minority, they can. That's democracy. The founders hated democracy. Did you know that? They were dead set against democracy. It was, I believe, Franklin. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. They hated democracy. Why then this relentless campaign about democracy, to protect it, to get democracy? Because Democrats hate that smaller population states, which are almost always Republican states, they hate that those states have equal representation in the United States Senate. Every state, remember, from Wyoming to California, every state gets two United States senators. Two United States senators. Well, communists hate that, especially when they are importing new voters by the million. They are calling it a democracy because they want America to be a democracy, and they're banking on the average American being too uneducated about the forms of government to think that's what we are and think that's what we want. Living in a democracy would be a living freaking hell. That's why Democrats have chosen that word. They are pounding that word over and over and over and over again. And that's why we have to be shrewd enough to avoid that and correct people when they call it a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic, a representative republic. The founders of this country never wanted the majority to be able to trample on the rights of the minority. That's why it's so hard to pass laws. That's why we have something called a filibuster, where you can't just get 51 United States senators and then pass whatever law you want. They wanted it that way. Otherwise, it turns into more of a democracy, and can you even imagine the horrors these people would visit on us with that? Hey, Jesse, I understand this is one step in the battle to reclaim our once great country, but if the communists take power again, won't they push us even further into the hellscape that is comparable to a third world country? Yes, they will. Here was Hakeem Jeffries.
There are so many different corrupt sycophants within the Trump administration, including but not limited to within the Department of Justice. Now, these people don't have immunity. And the reality is the statute of limitations is 5 years, and there will be accountability with the next administration, if not before, when Democrats take back control of the House of Representatives.
Okay. Here's Jennifer Welch and Jim Acosta. What kind of stuff do you guys want done if you take power?
I believe, and this is just my opinion, that Trump and all of the bottom-feeding morons surrounding him, and Elon Musk and all the bottom-feeding Klingeroners that surround him, I think they commit crimes every day. And I think to reconcile all of this is going to take hardcore, not integrity Democrats, f*** you Democrats, f*** you for f- over our country. We are serious about this. We are prosecuting. We're going to uncover every document, every phone call, everything you did. We will be relentless about it. And that's the mindset they've got to have, because I think the electorate is going from, we've got to get him out, but also we want accountability.
There has to be accountability.
It's going to be really bad if they take power again. Yes, it most definitely is. There's no question. No question. Now, maybe you're going to call me sick, but isn't that kind of exciting? Then stop. I know it's going to be horrifying. If they ever take power again, the things they're going to do, they're going to be horrible. Things to you, things to me, things that affect our future. It's going to be horrible. I'm not underselling that. I am really genuinely not. But don't you find it at least somewhat enjoyable to play a game where the stakes are high? The stakes are high. They couldn't possibly be higher. You are in the middle of a political battle where the stakes are higher than one your parents ever had, one your grandparents ever had. The stakes are everything. If we allow these savages to hold the reins of power again, they're going to hurt as many people as they possibly can. That's terrible, but kind of exciting. And you know what? Let me expand on that a little bit further. Hang on.